My name is Matthew Johnson, I'm 19 years old, and I have a video game addiction. It all started when I was probably 4 years old. My dad said that I had bad hand-eye coordination, and he thought that playing video games would improve my condition. Well, while I still can't catch a ball to save my life, the activity initiated my undying love for the virtual world. The first video game I can remember playing is Sonic the Hedgehog on the PlayStation 2. This is back when the player had to restart the entire game if they died 3 times, and anything past Green Hill Zone was too complex for my childlike brain to wrap its head around. So let's just say there were several late night gaming sessions dedicated to beating Sonic. To no avail, I might add. Nevertheless, I carried on playing video games into the next generation of consoles. And since I was born in 2001 and into a relatively privileged black family, this meant I had access to every form of console, from the Nintendo DS, the Wii, the Game Boy Advance SP, the Nintendo 3DS, the Wii U, and even Xbox before I switched over to the PlayStation 3. Now before you go on, yes, I know I was spoiled, but keep in mind that all of these consoles released several years apart, and most of them were rewards for doing well in school. You see, when I was younger, around elementary to middle school, my dad had an unwavering ideology. You deserve to be rewarded for hard work. And since hard work throughout my childhood mostly consisted of completing chores and keeping my grades high, which I was able to do most of the time, many of my accolades came in the form of video games. However, there were times, as every child who's played a video game does, I would slack on my chores or prioritize video games over my schoolwork and, as a result, get video games taken away. And we're not talking you're grounded for 2 weeks taken away, we're talking you're not playing video games for the foreseeable future, which essentially meant no video games for the rest of the school year. It sucked, but it was my dad's way of discipline. He prioritized education over leisure. And you can start to see that my addiction to video games was emerging. This seemed to be a common thread among the two participants I had the opportunity to interview from the Game Cooters community, that our excessive engagement with video games began at a young age, generally around middle school. The first person I had the pleasure of speaking with via Zoom goes by Linux, whose dependence on video games increased exponentially during middle school as a response to an unexpected loss. Unfortunately, his devotion to games during this time also had a significant impact on his educational journey.
I'd been in, I don't know if they had gate programs where you're at. I don't know if that's a standard United States thing, but it's like junior AP classes. I'd been in those in middle school, and my gaming habits had pretty much kicked me off of that track.
Why do you think that you were struggling with those AP classes before? Was it just from playing video games, or was it like adapting from elementary school, which isn't all that challenging, to the AP classes in middle school? And was that like just an adjustment period that you weren't able to adapt to?
Adapting wasn't a hard thing for me, but my grandfather died like right at the start of middle school. And I think I had a lot of negative feelings about that, so I played more games.
Yeah.
The second person I interviewed via direct messages was Jason, who dove into video games during middle school after suffering from bullying at school and his parents' divorce. For him, the side effects of excessively playing video games included low self-esteem, depression, anger, headaches, inadequate sleep, and a damaged relationship with his mother, amongst other things. And despite the fact that these are all very distinct circumstances, they all fit snugly under what researchers define as video game addiction. In the article, Developmental Links Between Gaming and Depressive Symptoms by Jacob Mikushka and Alexander Vasoni, addiction is defined as a multitude of negative consequences characterized by loss of control over gaming behavior or relapses following periods of relative control, intrapersonal or interpersonal conflict, irritation resulting from an inability to play or continue playing, analogous to withdrawal symptoms. Now, it's important to note that video games aren't the enemy here. In fact, the previous article mentions that video games have several positive effects, which Linux and Jason can relate to. Makushka and Bisogni are in agreement with previous researchers as they cite that video games can fulfill various normative developmental needs in childhood and adolescence. They provide not only excitement that children and adolescents naturally seek, but often also intellectual stimulation by presenting various challenges and problems to overcome. Games can provide youth with a sense of achievement, but can also serve as a platform for making and maintaining friendships. Furthermore, games are often mentioned as a way of dealing with emotions, to relax, unwind, or temporarily escape the hassles of a daily life.
So you told me that you started playing games, you beat your first game when you were like your third birthday. Do you have any favorite games, and would you be able to say why those games are special to you?
I have a lot of favorite games. So the first game I ever beat, it was called Tomba, and it was for the PlayStation 1. I remember that one really fondly, a lot of nostalgia wrapped up. My parents say that when I played it, I couldn't read yet, but there were lots of, like, quests that you had to do, like, little, not, like, intricate quests, but little goals, tasks. But they would read those for me and you know, explain them.
How else would you say that video games benefited you?
I would say that I am very good at problem solving. I got very used to, you know, you see a problem, you figure out how to solve it on your own, or you ask for help where you need to, but you have a general idea of, you know, what help to ask for. So I'm good at solving problems. I've got good spatial awareness, I guess. Like, you know how some people, I had this conversation with friends a few days ago. Most of my friends have like a general idea of what way north is if they're in a familiar area. One of my friends didn't. In a way, a lot of the people related it was like, you know, I've got a mini map of the area around me in my head.
Jordan didn't go into as much depth with the benefits he received from playing video games, but he did agree with the authors that the medium provided him with a sense of achievement and that online communities gave him a safe place to vent his problems with other gamers. And if this is the case, that video games aren't inherently bad until the player spends too much time engrossed in the virtual world, I was curious to find out what makes them appealing to the point of addiction in the first place. To be honest, I didn't have to go too far with my research here, as Lennox and I discussed this later on in our interview. He ended up linking me to an interesting article dissecting behavioral game design, which led me to believe that video games are constructed from the ground up with addiction in mind. This is largely due to the fact that video game designers appeal to our behavioral psychology when making games. According to John Hobson, an individual who not only wields a PhD in behavioral and brain sciences, but is also the head of user research at Bungie, a video game company known for games like Destiny and Halo. Many of the findings from behavioral research are species independent and can be found in anything from birds to fish to humans. Thus, the way in which animals learn about and respond to their environment can be applied to computer games and therefore people. Specifically, researchers learn how subjects adapt to their surroundings through contingency schedules, which are sets of rules that govern when rewards are given out. According to Hobson, contingencies were discovered by American psychologist B.F. Skinner after he ran low on the food pellets he gave to rats in his experiments. He decided to give his rats a pellet every 10 times they pressed a lever rather than after every single time, and by trying out different reward routines, Skinner found out that they produced significantly different patterns of response from the rats. The first type is ratio contingency, which consists of a fixed and variable schedule. The fixed ratio schedule provides rewards after a certain number of actions have been completed. So, in Mario, the player will receive a 1-up after they collect 100 coins. But this ratio can vary, meaning that the number of actions needed before a reward is acquired changes. This can be seen in Minecraft's procedurally generated worlds, in which the amount of blocks the player mines before finding diamonds changes every playthrough. The second type of contingency is the interval contingency, which also consists of a fixed and variable schedule. In a fixed interval schedule, a set amount of time passing in-game produces a reward. Think of your specialist abilities in Black Ops 3 or Overwatch. In a variable interval schedule, the amount of time that passes before a reward appears changes. Think of Nazi Zombies, in which one insta-kill power-up can appear a mere seconds after the player has already picked one up. There are even special cases of contingency. The first is known as chain schedules, or situations where there are multiple stages of contingency. Hobson gives an example in which the player has to kill 10 orcs before they can enter a dragon's cave, but the dragon may only be there during certain periods of time. Here, there's a fixed ratio schedule and a variable interval schedule. The next special case refers to extinction, in which the game designer stops giving rewards to the player. The player will ultimately react based on whatever the rate of reward was, so in a ratio schedule, the player will work hard for a longer period of time before gradually falling off. And in a fixed interval schedule, the amount of effort they exude will peak for a few intervals when they expect to be rewarded, but then cease. The final special case is known as avoidance, which involve contingencies where participants stop things from happening. Hobson refers back to rats, giving an example of a rat that wants to avoid getting shocked. He says, "Every so often, a small shock is given through the metal floor of the cage. However, if the rat presses the lever, the shock won't happen for at least 30 seconds. The rat quickly learns to press the lever at a slow, steady rate and thus prevent the shock from occurring. Together, the various contingencies will influence how the player interacts with the game. For example, to make players play hard, Hobson recommends a variable ratio schedule. The more certain they are that something good or interesting will happen soon, the harder they'll play. To make players play forever, he suggests the variable schedule in combination with the avoidance schedule. Even if nothing is going on, the player can achieve something positive by postponing negative consequences. Lastly, to make players quit, Hobson says to reduce their motivation. The first thing that will cause players to quit is pausing, where their motivation to do the next thing is low. The second thing is long stretches between interesting sections of the game. While they may have high overall motivation to play your game, during play they are comparing their motivation to do the very next thing in the game to all the other next things they could be doing. If nothing interesting will happen for the next hour, the player will stop playing. Of course, this wouldn't be a game design article if Hobson concluded by telling his audience how to make their players quit. So he provides two methods to avoid this possibility. Either A, have multiple activities possible at any given time, or B, not changing the rate at which the player is rewarded. The point is that video games are designed to be addictive, and if this fact is considered with what I mentioned earlier, that video games provide not only excitement, but intellectual stimulation, a sense of achievement, a platform for making and maintaining friendships, and ultimately a way of dealing with emotions, it makes sense that the medium can take over a player's existence.
In college was when I got like the first hit of like failure. Mm-hmm. I'd had it was a game development class. It was to fill a GE actually. It wasn't even a major related class. Mm-hmm. But I had, there's a partner project that I was on, and the partner just completely dropped off the face of the earth, and I failed that project, and it was enough of my grade that I failed the class. I did not take that well.
In his message, Jordan didn't give me any information about his college years, but he did mention that he fell back into games after losing his friend during his senior year of high school. My best friend at the time committed suicide because of issues at home and being a victim to bullying at school. This led to my first relapse and more games. And to bring this back to my neck of the woods, during high school, I sunk into video games as a way to escape responsibility under the guise of chasing what I thought would make my future career. You see, growing up, I had always wanted to be a gaming YouTuber. You know, like the big three, PewDiePie, Markiplier, and Jacksepticeye. I saw that they were making money pursuing their passion, and as an individual who never desired to work for the man, I decided to get in on the gold. The only issue was, well, there were a few actually. I didn't have any knowledge about running a business, I didn't have any skills, and I didn't have any grit. The first would lead me to spending all my capital, back then it was a $2,000 college fund, on a gaming PC because I believed in the general idea that my gear would generate my success instead of the products and services I had to offer. The second meant that I was without appreciation of just how hard these individuals worked to get to where they are today. There's natural talent, but there's also training necessary to be entertaining. The third meant that when any sort of trouble came my way, I'd collapse within myself for either not being able to take criticism or just outright losing faith in myself and assuming the belief, this isn't for me. And the whole obsession of monetizing my passion didn't just leave me video game addicted. I became distant with friends, who I had not very long ago shared memories with gaming on console, socially inept, and deprived myself of practical knowledge and experience. I mean, I was already an introvert, but phone calls give me anxiety. Not to mention, I haven't yet acquired my first job, nor my license. All for the sake of video games, I suppose. What's funny is that if we return to Makushka's and Vasoni's article, they cite that adolescent excessive gamers tend to grow out of this behavior when other developmental needs and tasks start to compete for their free time in adulthood. I found that Linux really fit the bill for this quote, as he's adapted to paying his way through college.
The summer after my freshman year, I got an internship. My family's well off enough that I grew up comfy, but they bought a house like 2 years before I started college, so they super couldn't help me with tuition. So when I worked the internship, I think the weight of the $70,000-ish that I was in debt really hit hard. So that pressure to get that degree fast and get out so that I could get a job and pay it off was really there.
I may not have had a job to attend to, but as a person who's also in college and trying to quit gaming or at least reduce my time spent playing, I wanted to know if there were any strategies that either Linux or Jason used to help them stave off the mindless machine.
I gave my Steam password, my Steam guard to a friend of mine. So if I want to log into Steam, I have to text them and ask them for the Steam guard code. It's an extra few moments to stop and think, like, do I really want to do this? Should I be doing this? I mean, it's in my mind, I should be able to go like a week while with only playing like once a week. And that should be fine. That should be doable. I am still playing once a week. The friend that has the code actually has a game of Solaris that they're playing with some other friends, and I join in on that. Before that, I'd been playing a solid amount. I was probably playing, 3 hours a day. Oh. Yeah. I don't know if that sounds like a lot or a little to you.
To be completely honest, I was not prepared to answer this question. You're going to hear me stutter and stammer, and I left this in to show that gaming can just as easily wrap me up as it can you. It all goes back to the idea that video games are designed to be addictive.
I mean, going off my own personal experience, I would find myself maybe not playing 3 hours every single day, but playing maybe whenever I have like free time. And that sounds like a horrible answer to your question, whenever I have free time. But I try to fit games in. Gosh, how do I even answer this? Because I don't feel like I play that often, but at the same time, I guess I do.
It's a very social activity, I think. So it's, yeah, especially for some people. So it can, and it's very casual. It passes time really quickly, so it's hard to look at it and say, yeah, I do this a lot. it's just like it, for our parents' generation, you know, it's TV. You look at them, and you know, boatloads of people spend 2 hours, 3 hours a night watching TV, just vegging out.
To put my own weaknesses aside, so to speak, a strategy that I've been employing to curb my gaming addiction has been putting my consoles away and even uninstalling Steam.
It felt dirty, I guess, to be that mouse in a cage pressing a button. When I thought about it like that.
Yeah. I think I feel kind of a similar thing when playing Call of Duty, but I've noticed it more recently with Call of Duty Gunfight, that I will constantly come back to that game mode in Modern Warfare and just like play whether or not I win or lose, because if I lose, I want to go for that next win.
Yeah. If I win, I want to go for that next win. And so it's like you're in that addictive cycle, and it's like, man, I know I could be using my time better. Like, I have literally an assignment that's due soon, but I want to get another win. So yeah, I do feel that, and that's actually what forced me. It's out now, but there have been moments where I've just like, man, I'm gonna unplug my PlayStation 4 and put it in my bin back there. And I won't touch it for, like, days.
Jordan had the goal of quitting gaming altogether, and he's attempting to do that by filling his time with new hobbies. I'm taking time to exercise, write, and read, and I am also going to start cooking more and baking. Ultimately, all of us are doing things that will either reset or sever our relationship with video games.
If you aren't careful with the relationship, you end up just needing it excessively for that feeling of dopamine. So I'm just sort of trying to reset that relationship.
And in restoring our connection with video games so that we have a healthy balance, we become more than the virtual worlds we've inhabited for far too long.